older people are resources, not burdens. And from that, so many other things kind of emerge from that. If they're not just respected on a personal level, but respected for their abilities and their contributions, as well as a societal change in attitude.
That's Jack Kupferman, president of Grey Panthers NYC, and this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacob Ellis, talking with innovators and experts about health and healthcare in America. Jack's concern for older adults had its roots in his childhood. His parents ran a rest home in Rockland County, New York. He and his family lived in the back. For more than three decades, he had a successful law career mainly focused on the aging, working for the New York City Department for the Aging. His passion, though, is the Grey Panthers, a national elder rights organization. Jack is their president of their New York City network and their representative to the United Nations. Jack and the Grey Panthers are determined to elevate the concerns of older people, both locally and across the globe, by addressing poverty, lifelong learning, and health care. Jack Kupferman, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Teresa, I am so honored to be with you, and thank you for taking the opportunity to speak with me.
So few people on the planet, I think it's safe to say, are as passionate as you are about the needs of older adults. You've said to me in a previous conversation that older people are your peeps. Why is that?
Yeah, they are my peeps. You know, as you properly noted, my parents owned a rest home in Rockland County. So from the age of three to now, I've been working with older people. Now, they're just people. I mean, they've always been just people, no matter their physical or mental deterioration. You always have a connection with them. And this is just something special that we all have that opportunity. Today in modern America or modern world, there's a kind of a break. As the nuclear family has changed, there isn't the same kind of connections with intergenerational relationships. I just enjoy older people. Some of them are difficult. Some of them are just like your entire best friends forever.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like we are very obsessed with youth, especially in the US, right? It's this youth culture that kind of causes us to maybe not think about the needs of older people.
Well, I'd like to just reflect on that. A few years ago, I went back to my high school and they invited me to talk. And I was talking to students, and one of the young ladies said to me, you know, why? I was anticipating and eager for the question. You know, you're interested in older people and why, but aren't young people the future? And I responded, no, they're not. Young people are not the future. Old people are the future. The demographics are that there are currently 1 billion people over the age of 60 throughout the world. And it's almost now that there are more older people than younger people in the world.
Wow. That's an incredible and staggering statistic. And when you think about it, old people are the future of young people. That's where we're all headed, right? So
we're all future old people.
So I want to talk about your most recent project, which was an incredibly moving and heart-wrenching remembrance of the 182,000 Americans who perished in nursing homes during the COVID-19 pandemic. On May 20th, you held the memorial for nursing home lives lost to COVID-19, and it's still available on your website to view. Can you talk about that project and why it was so important for you?
You know, one of the things that Grey Panthers had been working on is one of our priority areas is on long-term care. With the coming of COVID, the devastation in long-term care facilities throughout the country and throughout the world, nobody understands it. No, it's not comprehensible to any human being. The waves of death, the waves of illness, of people who are loved by their family members, and yet none of us, zero of us, have really had the opportunity to grieve that loss. We're, aside from the fact that we're not grieving the loss of 600,000 Americans who have died from COVID, we have definitely not been grieving the loss of the 200,000 deaths in long-term care facilities, particularly nursing homes. And nurse, as I've said to you before, being in a nursing home is on no one's bucket list. So we kind of put that off to the side. And yet, as part of our humanity, we need to cry for all of these deaths. We, after 9/11, the whole world cried. The world has not yet started to cry for COVID. And it's far more devastating in terms of loss of life and the traumas. We wanted to make sure that we had the opportunity, that people had the opportunity to hear and to connect and to show their, not so much their solidarity, because that's almost going to happen, but to express their love and their grief for people who they know and people that they don't know. And this is a universal, grief is universal. And unless you grieve, grieving is life.
And I think what you did with this memorial is that you put faces to these numbers that we hear, that we can become immune to almost when we hear 600,000, 200,000. But you actually put faces and stories to those numbers, which was so meaningful and moving.
Yes, we did. You know, it was important for us to get testimonials on nursing home residents, nursing home staff members, and the families of nursing home residents, as well as elected officials, other types of cultural performers, performances, as well as others that could help us through begin the grief process. Because without grief, there's no healing.
Yes.
And we want to use this as a springboard for the transformation of nursing homes in America.
Perfect, so, because my next question for you is just about that. And one of the things that you talk about is the plight of nursing home workers being very important as a priority for the Gray Panthers. So what are some of those issues, and how do you imagine transforming nursing homes?
Well, transformation of nursing homes is a huge thing that's been going on for, trying to be going on for decades. So I have to give a little bit of context to that. The nursing home industry is incredibly huge. Multi-billion dollar industry, and there is the staff members and the administration. They love their residents. However, as we've seen in COVID, the protections were inadequate. Now, this also goes to a greater issue of what is the relationship between nursing home residents and the community at large. Nursing home residents, they do have their voice, but their voice is literally not heard because they are behind closed doors. And they do not have the same kind of communication ability as you and I do. Even if they're talking to their families, everything is so constrained. Mm-hmm. And they have mental and physical deterioration that impairs it even further. But yet, if we say that we honor our elders, if we say that people have rights and should be treated respectfully and with dignity, is that really happening? Particularly during COVID, despite the fact that there's so much love that's coming to the nursing home residents from the staff members who have given up their lives to make sure that the people that they take care of are at least protected as much as possible. Now, some of the issues with regard to staff at nursing homes that is they're poorly paid. Just think about it for a moment. Could you do that work?
No, that's why so many people are there, because families are not able to provide that care.
Actually, that's not quite the case, because you have to have certain, it's not an alternative to home care, but you have to have specified criteria, and you have to have a medical need of some sort that requires you to be in a skilled nursing facility. So these people are not physically or cognitively well. Nursing home staff, let's talk about that for a moment. Low pay, no career ladder, few protections. They are usually, most often, communities of color. And they have an enormous range of concerns themselves. For instance, they have extremely long commutes. There are many people who have the issue of training. Is training for these people adequate? And that's a kind of general, but then let's look at rural areas in terms of staff, people who need to take care of older people. It's hard to recruit because the wages are so low. It's hard to, how do you get the training? How do you get this is just the issue of staff. Mm-hmm. And this needs to be more properly addressed, not only for COVID, but for every aspect of care in skilled nursing facilities.
So how do you advocate for these changes and transformations? Is this a policy issue, or is this really working with the industry?
Well, all that, we're evolving this. Our purpose in this video and in our initiative is to build public awareness and support for the needs for nursing home transformation. There's so many ways to do that, and we want to be a catalyst. We don't need to be the experts. There are many, many people who have devoted their careers to understanding the issues in nursing homes on behalf of the residents. We don't have to reinvent that wheel, but talking some of the arenas in which change should occur and must occur is in our perception of nursing home residents, to identify with them. And nobody does that. Mm-hmm. Why would you? Also, in terms of policy, in terms of financing, in terms of staffing, in terms of the physical environment. Traditionally, nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities have come out of the medical model because they had evolved from long-term wings of hospitals. Mm-hmm. And then they become separate facilities and they maintain that kind of medical model. That needs to be seriously reconsidered. Is it worthwhile to have people, no matter their physical or cognitive impairments, should they really be in a hospital ward or a hospital room? Maybe yes, maybe no. How inviting, how enriching is it for these people who are living there? This is their homes for however long they're there. So those are some of the issues that we need to address in terms of nursing home transformation. But we also need to remember there have been almost 200,000 nursing home deaths due to COVID in America. That's just America.
Yeah. That's staggering. Are some of these issues, do they also spill over into other levels of long-term care, or are they specific to nursing homes?
Well, they do at all different levels of long-term care. They're related issues, whether it's assisted living or senior housing or rehab facilities or all these other types of residential facilities for older people. So they are very similar issues. Most dramatic is in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And people generally lump, they think of nursing homes as all types of long-term care facilities. That's just a general way that the public sees that.
I want to ask you also about another area in which your organization is very active, which is in Social Security advocacy. What are you doing in that particular area?
What we're doing is that we have been partnering with a number of the advocacy initiatives at the federal level, you know, the Social Security Works and a few others. And more or less what we do is that we are we sign on to a number of letters and we participate in a number of policy discussions. I'll give you things that aren't necessarily on the front line of what you might think, but they're yet important. Social Security Administration, as part of a restructuring, has been trying to close a fair number of Social Security offices. Now that impairs the ability of people to speak to a human being on whatever the Social Security issue is. Is that a wise decision? No. There are issues of who's entitled to what at what point, and things that I don't even remember all of the smaller issues that we have touched on, but there are a good number of them. And we're looking forward to getting more involved in the Social Security advocacy going forward. The whole big issue, of course, is trust fund and whether it's going to Social Security will be sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, that big issue, there are solutions, whether or not the country is willing to take them, and not even a big cost. Mm-hmm. Not even a big cost. For instance, if we raise the cap on the income that is taxable for Social Security, let's raise it to 300,000 income, start the cap at $300,000, as opposed to, what is it now? I think it's 125. Mm-hmm. How much more money would be coming into Social Security?
Good point. Excellent point.
You know, why? And the people who are more wealthier have a better opportunity. It's less of a burden for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's an example.
Well, I want to hit the pause button for a second. We're going to take a brief break, but listeners, please don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more about aging and advocacy for older adults in just a moment.
Healthcare Confidential is brought to you by Prescriptive Communications, LLC. Analyze, strategize, connect. That's our prescription for healthcare marketing. Prescriptive Communications puts healthcare businesses in front of the audiences they need to reach. If you're ready for a diagnostic on your marketing efforts, get in touch with Prescriptive today. Call us at 631-606-0525 or visit prxcommunications.com. That's 631-606-0525 or prxcommunications.com.
Welcome back to Healthcare Confidential. We're here with elder advocate Jack Kupferman, talking about his lifelong advocacy work on behalf of older adults. And Jack, you have made a concentrated effort to engage young people in intergenerational advocacy. What are you doing in that area, and why is that important?
Aside from the fact that younger people are future older people, there has to be that partnership between younger people and older people in order to get anything really done. Younger people do not understand or even are aware of the issues of aging and why it's important for them as a human being. They just don't understand it because it's never been presented to them. How we work is that we expect that partnership between younger people and older people to work as equal partners. It's not necessarily the kumbaya of sitting down around the campfire and old people and young people singing campfire songs. That's really great. But that's not our perspective on that. So what we do is we are always encouraging younger people to be part of the planning and the operations. One of the ways that we have been most successful in doing that is we have an internship program. Every summer and elsewhere, we have some of the most talented young people in the country who have never been part of any kind of aging issues, who are eager to be working with us. And there is an inevitability from almost every single intern that we've had. I never knew. I didn't know how important this was. Why didn't somebody tell us about this? Why haven't we learned about it? Nobody seems to be interested. And I love my grandma, but I didn't realize how much more needed to be done or what the problems were. And I didn't understand what it was like to work with people who are older than me on an equal partnership.
That's so valuable. That must be a tremendous learning experience on both sides, I'm sure.
Yeah, and each year, the young people do awesome work. We'll get into that in a bit.
I did want to touch upon what you're doing with the United Nations. So how did your organization become involved with the UN? And what are some of the projects that you're working on internationally?
Grey Panthers has accreditation at the United Nations since 1980 something or other. And so we have been involved in a whole host of initiatives and programs and advocacy. We represent one of the, I think there are like 30,000 organizations from around the world that have accreditation. Maybe there are about 30 that are focused only on older people, of which we are. So some of the things that we have been quite involved in, we were instrumental in the, people probably are not aware of, the Sustainable Development Goals, which was the global blueprint for social, economic, and environmental development for a 15-year period from 2015 to 2030. Now, prior to that, there had never been explicit mentions of the concerns of older people in the Millennium Development Goals. We, a group of 10 organizations and advocates, vowed not to repeat that. So in the Sustainable Development Goals, we educated, we informed, we advocated, and we were successful in getting a good number of mentions in the Sustainable Development Goals. That's just the framework. The implementation is a completely different story. But if you don't have the structure, you're not going to get something further. So that has been an enormous step forward for the concerns of older people. And also, to look at the linkages between older people and younger people, older people and the disabled, older people and women, these types of things, and then continue to advocate on their behalf. So that's one. Another arena is in the protection of the human rights of older people. That has been an ongoing initiative, and we don't find a whole lot of traction amongst the member states, including the United States. Mm-hmm. They're just not that interested. Grey Panthers has always been at the forefront of these things, and we participate. There's not only an annual conference at the UN, the Open-Ended Working Group on Aging, but we've been part of that strategic planning process, and we participate in a whole host of manners. Another one that we have been doing for the past couple of years and going to do again this year is the issue of data. You can't do good policy without data. Yet, throughout the world, data on older people is almost never collected. In the rich countries, it is pretty well, it's pretty well collected, but still has its issues. From the UN Statistical Commission, they created a committee on data with regard to aging and disaggregating data. It's all really technical, and I am not a numbers person. But this isn't about numbers, it's about policy. And so we've been able to contribute to that. There's a number of other arenas in which we have contributed.
I feel like there's so much more for us to dive into here. And I just want to ask you, Jack, what's your vision? Like, would have to be the environment, the landscape. If you were to wake up one day and say, my work is done, we've achieved everything that we wanted to do, what does that world look like?
Good question. I've never really thought about that question. Because it's clearly not going to happen in my lifetime. But in a kind of a sum, that older, specifically with regard to older people are resources, not burdens. And from that, so many other things kind of emerge from that. If they're not just respected on a personal level, but respected for their abilities and their contributions, as well as their a societal change in attitude. So, and not to be considered burdens, because yes, we are all going to be need medical care. As you grow older, there's more need. We're all going to need income. Whether, and the issue of productive aging, let's not make that a generational conflict. There's enough work to go around, and there's enough opportunity, and there's enough money to go around. How it ends up being allocated, that's open to question. But let's not discriminate one against the other. Let's not pit the generations against each other. Those are just some things that come to mind.
I like that vision. That's a fantastic place, I think. I hope we get there. I hope we get there soon. And I hope you'll come back and share some more of your accomplishments and your work with us another time.
You know, I just wanted to encourage people to watch our very important video on honoring nursing home lives, honoring nursing home lives lost. It's quite impactful, and we encourage every one of your viewers to please, you can go to our website, which is graypanthersnyc.org, graypanthersnyc.org, and it's G-R-A-Y, panthersnyc.org. You can find the video there, or you can go to our YouTube channel, which is Grey Panthers NYC. You can find the video there. And for people who are interested, we would love to have you work with us on whatever in whatever capacity you're interested in. We're small, we're grassroots, and we do a lot. And we'd love to have further conversations with you, Teresa. And, you know, there's just a lot more that we can talk about.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so if somebody is interested in volunteering, getting involved, being a part of the solution, just go to the website.
NYC.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Jack, for taking the time to talk with us. I really do appreciate it. And this is an important issue. And I do want to second your encouragement for people to go and watch the video. It is very moving and memorable and an important documentary, really, that talks about all of those lives that are so meaningful. And I also want to remind our listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available every Monday morning wherever you access podcasts. The show is brought to you by Prescriptive Studios and hosted on Omni Studio. Our theme song is an original composition written and performed by the fabulous Patrick McCarsick, and our production assistant is the equally fabulous John Roy. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation by dropping a note on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Be well, everyone.